Today, I would like you to turn in your Bible to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, chapter 21. You get your Bible and you follow along if you'd like to. 1 Samuel, chapter 21. And let's read verse 8 and 9. 1 Samuel, chapter 21, verse 8. David said unto Ahimelech, "There is not here, and is there not here under thy hand, spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." And the priest said, "There the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here." And David said, now here's the phrase I want to camp on today, and here's the phrase I hope God will impress on your heart this morning. David said unto the priest, "There is none like that," in reference to that sword that he used to cut off Goliath's head. "There is none like that. Give it me." Now when David was on the run from King Saul, he fled to the priest of God to find shelter. Find shelter, to find food, and to find a weapon to defend himself. David fled the kingdom without any weapons to defend himself. The priest gave David shelter and bread to eat, but he had only one sword in the temple. This priest couldn't supply all of David's men with swords. He only had one sword in the temple. It was the very sword that David had used to cut off Goliath's head some time back. David, knowing the soundness of that weapon, David had used that weapon, and David knew that it was a good weapon. He knew the soundness of the weapon. Knowing that, he said, "There is none like that sword. There is none like that. Give it me." Now, I think we can make good use of that saying in reference to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is none like that gospel. There is none like the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of God's grace, the gospel of His glory, the gospel concerning His dear Son, Jesus Christ. There is none like that gospel. I say, give it to me. Now, here's three things I want you to remember. In regards to His written word, there is none like that. Give it to me. Consider who the author is. Consider who the author is of this word of God, of the Bible. All Scripture, 1 Timothy 3:16 declares, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All other books, now listen to me, all other books are written by sinful men. The Bible was written by our holy God. Peter declared, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man," it wasn't the invention of men, "but holy men of God spake as they were moved, as they were driven by God the Holy Spirit." In regards to His written word, consider who the author is. There's none like that. God Himself wrote this book. God Himself preserved this book and has given it to us. Consider the subject of His Word. Consider the subject of the Bible. In Acts chapter 10, verse 43, we read, "To Him, to Jesus Christ, to Him give all the prophets witness." What other book contains such a glorious revelation of God's gospel, of God's Savior, of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ? What other book has such a glorious subject as salvation through a substitute, Jesus Christ? The written word powerfully bears testimony to the living word, Jesus Christ, who He is, His glorious person. Listen to this scripture. "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Who is Jesus Christ? He's God Almighty manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. This Word of God, the Bible, gives testimony to the person of Jesus Christ. But not only His person, but also His work. His name declares His work. Savior, Jesus. The angel from heaven declared, call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sins. He is what He's called. He is the Savior of God's elect chosen people. So you consider this book, the author of it, there's none like that. The subject of it, there's none like that. And the third thing, how about the effects of this word? The effects of God's word. Listen to this scripture, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is living and powerful. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit. The word of God is soul quickening. James 1:18 says, of His own will beget He us with the word of truth. It's heart warming. Remember those two men that walked on the road to Emmaus with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they made this statement. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us and while He opened to us the Scriptures? The Word of God has a powerful effect upon the believer. It's soul quickening. It's heart warming. And my friend, it's life giving. Being born again, Peter said, not of a corruptible seed. That's how I was born in Adam, tainted with sin and iniquity. But we're born again of an incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Therefore I say, there is none like His Word. The sword of the Spirit of God. There's none like His Word. Give it to me. Give it to me that I may believe God. Give it to me that I may grow in grace. Give it to me that I may see Jesus Christ as everything in salvation and to know and to realize that the believer resting in the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely saved, redeemed, and complete, justified from all sin. In regards to His Word, there's none like that. Give it to me. The second thing I want to bring to your attention this morning, in regards to His salvation. Can't we say this? In regards to God's salvation, that there is none like that. Give it to me. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is not what we do for God. Salvation is what God has done for the sinner. God totally purposed. God purposed salvation. God planned salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. God purposed who He would save and how He would save them. You listen to this scripture in Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I invite you to read this along with me if you have your Bible there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly in Christ, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. You see, my friend, God in eternity chose whom He would save. That's what election is all about. It simply means God chose whom He would have mercy upon. Ephesians 1 verse 5 said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now we see who did the choosing. God did. God chose us. We didn't choose Him. And we also see when He chose us. He chose us before the foundation of the world. And we see why He chose His people, according to the good pleasure of His will. And we see where He chose them. He made us accepted in the Beloved. He chose His people in the Lord Jesus Christ. In regard to this salvation, can't we say there is none like that? Give it to me. God freely chose whom He would save. Sovereignly chose whom He would save. And He also chose how He would save them. In Ephesians chapter 1, again verse 7, it declares, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The Lord Jesus Christ came as a sinner substitute, as a representative man, and He put away the sin of God's people. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. My friend, there's no other atonement for sin. By one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, those whom He has chosen. There's no other way sinners can be justified but by His grace freely, by His grace through the redemption that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I say, there is none like that gospel. There is none like that salvation that's freely given of God. God chose whom He would save, and God chose the means and how He would save them through the substitutionary shedding of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, shedding His blood on behalf of those people that God gave Him in eternity. Therefore, I say, there is none like that gospel. There is none like that salvation. Give it to me that I may be saved from all my sin. Give it to me. Now notice I said, Lord, give me salvation. Salvation is not earned. It's not merited. Salvation is a free gift of God. We stand before God as mercy beggars. We come before Him as mercy beggars. Like the publican in the temple, Lord, God, have mercy on me, the sinner. I say, give it to me, Lord, that I may be justified from all my sin. Give it to me, Lord, that I may be glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the third thing I want you to remember this morning is this. In regards to faith, there is none like that. I say, give it to me. In Hebrews 12:2, we read, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Romans 1:17 declares, the just, those who have been justified, shall live by faith. Saving, real, genuine faith is not the product of a frail, fallen, depraved, sinful creature. Faith is not a product of the flesh. Faith is a sovereign gift of God. It's God-given faith that saves. You listen to this scripture in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved. How is the sinner saved? By grace. Through faith. That's how this grace and this salvation is received, by faith. And that, he says, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is God's ordained means whereby sinners receive the Lord Jesus Christ as everything in salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification, and my redemption. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we are complete in Him. Christ is all, and He's everything in salvation. Now listen to me carefully. Faith does not produce salvation. Now you heard me right. Faith does not produce salvation. Faith simply receives the Lord Jesus Christ, who is salvation. My faith didn't die for my sins. My faith is not my Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. My friend, therefore I say before God, Lord, there's none like that. There's none like that faith that's God-given that lays hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is salvation. Therefore I say, there's none like that. Give it to me. Give it to me that I may believe God. Give it to me that I may receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Master and Savior, and bow to Him and love Him and own Him as everything in my salvation. Give it to me, my friend. This faith, God-given faith. Lord, give me faith that I may rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ and have absolutely no confidence in the flesh. Now, if you would like a copy of today's message, you write to me and I'll send it to you free of charge. My address, church, 6088 Zebulun Highway, Pikeville, Kentucky. Zip code's 41501.